Hello and welcome to our program. We conclude our little series today on earnestly contending for the faith. We said before we can contend without being contentious, and it's so important that we do not contend against the apostasy. That's prophesied, that's coming, but we earnestly contend for the faith. We looked at three pathways to apostasy in our recent program, and we'll look at that verse again, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. The way of Cain hath to do with the methods. Cain changed the method. God said, this is it. You bring a sacrifice. You sacrifice a lamb. Cain said, no, we don't want to do that. We'll just bring some nice pears and bananas and put them in a basket here. We have done the same thing today. We have changed the method. God says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the new thing is, don't worry about that repentance thing. Let's just pray a prayer. No, it's not going to happen. You can pray all the prayers you want to. There's cults doing that. There's all kinds of religious organizations praying prayers. Judas said, I have sinned and died. And the Bible's very plain. He went to hell. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then we have the heir of Balaam. Balaam dealt with materialism. He was in it for reward. Sometimes I think we think if we can just get a big crowd of people listening to us on Sunday morning, that would be our reward. Be careful there. And perished in the gainsaying of Kor. That has to do with the mouth. Now, it's referring to Korah in the Old Testament. Korah, it says in Numbers chapter 1, now Korah and Dathan and Abiram took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Certain men, it says in Jude 1 and 4, crept in unawares. We read in Numbers 16:32, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, once again, we need to understand that they were judged by God. Each one of these situations, we saw three groups, we saw three individuals here in Jude, all of them judged by God. And once again, we are to contend for the faith, not against the apostates and not against the apostasy, contending for the faith. Now, apostates need to be exposed. That's one thing. That's another thing, to contend against them. So we look at the apostasy and the remnant in this age in which we are living. We go back to Noah's remnant. We find that Peter said in 1 Peter 3:20, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The Bible says plainly, before the Lord comes back, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, and few, that is, few, were saved. Now, we see Isaiah's remnant. He said in Isaiah 1:9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Then the New Testament remnant, we find Jesus said, as those disciples began to get together in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, chapter 5, 6, and 7, you need to read that all together to get the sermon. And he said to the disciples, and only to these disciples who were already saved, he said, because, and make sure you study that carefully, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He is not talking about going to heaven here. He is talking about those few who would be part of the remnant. You look in the days there when they traveled through and Jesus was born, a few shepherds knew what was going on. get into the temple when Jesus was presented. Oh, they're all going through their motions. They're all doing everything they're supposed to do in the temple. Two people knew what was going on. That's all. Few there be that find it. Matthew 9:37, he says, "A harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." By the way, in 1 Timothy 5:17, we read, "Let the elders or the pastors that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." Sometimes we think laboring has to do with building a big group of people and getting some bricks put up there and windows and some pews inside, and we labor on that sort of stuff. "Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." All the laborers are few. Well, we get into the New Testament period, and we find in Philemon 1 and 2, the church that is in thy house, Colossians 4:15, the church which is in his house, 1 Corinthians 16:19, the church that is in their house. Likewise, we read in Romans 16, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Acts 8:3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women and committed them to prison. Romans 3:4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. We read about that church there, and that's the one he commended, by the way. Now, it's very important to understand that although they were very small in number, they were organized with a membership, and God sent pastor to lead them. You can't just get upset with your pastor and go and have a meeting in the house and call it a church. You can call it a meeting if you want. You can call it whatever you want, but don't call it a church. God gave some instructions for what a church is all about. Well, we want to conclude by looking at what we need to do in dealing with the apostasy in the age in which we are living. For 16 verses, it's been very negative here about the apostasy and what's going on. "But, beloved," he said, "remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." As we've said before, we need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. The facts are, these be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. Once again, we need to understand that Jude is talking about those who are unsaved, not having the Spirit. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. There's some you might be able to reach, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." There will be a few people, very few, that you'll find that are involved in this apostasy of this day, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling," it's talking about falling into the apostasy, has nothing to do with losing your salvation. "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Just in conclusion, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." The Bible talks about the faith in verse 3, talks about your faith here in verse number 20. "But ye building," that is putting things together. It's very personal here. "But ye building up yourselves on your most holy faith," what you believe. Building up yourselves. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, "But by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through." Well, just a quick review there of Jude, that one little chapter, talking about earnestly contending for the faith. Be sure and be with us for our next program.